Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who doesn't enjoy it when Jesus gives the rich a solid rebuking? When he told the rich young man to sell everything that he had and give it all to the poor, just before today's gospel reading, it gave you no small amount of pleasure. When Jesus told of the rich man who feasted sumptuously every day while Lazarus had to fend off the dogs in order to eat from the rich man's garbage, and when that rich man got what was coming to him in hell, it gave you relief. To hear that it's harder for a rich man to enter into heaven than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle is like a sweet, self-righteous symphony to your ears. The more often Jesus makes wealth look sinful, the more you can console yourself for not having as much luxury as you might prefer, and write off your covetous idolatry and greed as pious Midwestern spendthrift. The rich, it seems, don't know the meaning of hard work, of sacrifice. Too many luxuries make life too easy, too free from suffering, too comfortable. And you take pride in your middle-class mindset and your Protestant work ethic. You know the meaning of hard work, and you're proud of it. That is, until Jesus tells this parable in today's gospel reading. In this parable, it's no longer the rich who are called to repentance and the hard-working middle class who are exalted as righteous. Nope. This time, those who do the least work are the most rewarded. And those who work hard earn themselves a solid rebuke. The master continued to hire workers for the day, even up until the last hour of the day. And then when he lined them up to give them their due reward for their work, he started with those who arrived last, who spent 11 hours just standing around, while the first workers hired spent those same 11 hours laboring, sweating in the vineyard. Those who worked only an hour, if really they put in a full hour of work, received a whole denarius, the wage for a full day's work. So, when those who worked all 12 hours came to get paid, they expected a lot more than the fair wage that they had agreed to work for. So they felt slighted when they received the same pay as those who worked only an hour of the day. It seems an insult to hard work that the last workers get paid first and receive just as much. Has your hard work been similarly insulted by Jesus? Where are his capitalist sensibilities? What's with this socialist redistribution of wealth, favoring those who slough off almost a whole day? And this, Jesus says, is how it is in the kingdom of heaven, in the Lord's church. Do you watch with indignation as others around you seem to shirk their responsibility to labor in the Lord's church? Do you look with contempt on those who don't seem to know what hard work is? Do you have nothing but disdain for that Johnny-come-lately Christian, a sinner of ill repute who repents on his deathbed while you have worked your whole life long at being a good person? Do you seethe with anger at the notion that the master would reward these hour-long workers with more than they deserve? If so, be warned. You who feel that your work in the Lord's church will earn you a rich reward, you who feel that your holy living will earn you the Lord's favor, you who begrudge the Master's generosity, repent. Repent, lest you find yourselves last when you thought to be the first. A worker deserved a denarius for a full day's work. But your so-called righteous works don't even qualify as work in the Lord's vineyard. Your work in the Lord's vineyard is at best self-righteous. Your obedience to His commandments is just whitewash over your sinful hearts and prideful motivations. Even the disciples grew frustrated with Jesus' impossibly lofty standards. They had left everything to follow Him. They had worked in the vineyard since the first hour. But even they recognized the impossibility of earning the Lord's favor. When Jesus, just before this parable, told the story, or when He had the young man, told him to go sell everything and give it all to the poor, the disciples responded, "Who then can be saved?" No one. That's the point. You can't save yourself. Thinking of your works as righteous only makes them evil. And thinking of yourself first will only make you last. So repent. But don't misunderstand. The task of salvation is hard work. Jesus answered the disciples' question, "Who then can be saved?" when He told them this, right before He told them this parable. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You don't even deserve to be last in the kingdom of heaven. That would be an honor among honors. Your sinful rebellion would cause you to be cast out of the Lord's presence together eternally, damned. If you really only had to labor for 1 hour, say, to keep all 10 commandments for a single hour, like these last workers, you would be doomed to hell before the minute hand reaches the one. As soon as you started thinking about how easy it would be to keep 10 simple commandments for 60 short minutes. With man, salvation is impossible. Until the firstborn of all creation, the one present with God the Father at the beginning, the one through whom all things were made, the first became the last. The Son of God left His rightful place and became the last. Became despised, rejected, the hated of all humanity. He took human flesh and was born to work in the vineyard in your place. He labored at God's law, sweated under the hot sun of the law's accusation, and kept every letter of it perfectly. But He received no reward. Instead, He received your punishment. On the cross, the sinless Son of God, Jesus Christ, died as the least, the worst sinner. The first became the last, so that you, the last, might be given the reward of the first. Because your Lord paid for your sins, they are completely forgiven. This is the generosity of the master of the vineyard, to give you not a wage, but a gift. Your sins earned you death, but you have received life and salvation instead. Because of Christ's labor in the vineyard, you have received His reward, an eternal inheritance. You are a beloved child of God. He who supposes himself worthy of the Lord's favor, supposes himself to be the first, the hardest worker, disqualifies himself for it, becomes the last. But he who supposes himself to be unworthy of the Lord's favor, who despises himself and his flesh for being unable to work hard enough, to him is given the forgiveness of sins. He becomes the first. Your Lord labored for you, accomplished the hard work, the impossible task of saving sinners for you. He shed his blood for you. He is, as St. Paul says, the rock from which flows life-giving water and cleansing blood. As your forefathers drank in the wilderness from the rock struck with Moses' staff, so you drink from the same rock struck with the punishment for sin and pierced by the soldier's spear. Here, at his holy altar, the Lord gives you food and drink for the journey. The life-giving, sin-forgiving body and blood of Jesus, your rock, is given to you, who never could have deserved such a rich reward. Here, you are the first in the kingdom of heaven, recipients of the Lord's favor, exalted to the highest place in all creation. Hard work earns you nothing. There is no Protestant work ethic, no do-it-yourself salvation, no capitalism in the Lord's church. Instead, your Lord has set you free from the work of earning his favor. He has given you grace and mercy, unmerited, his pure and perfect favor. There is only grace in the Lord's church, completely unmerited, undeserved, downright unfair. You profit at the cost of someone else's labor. So, enjoy it. You're free not to have to earn your salvation. Having delivered you from working to obtain your salvation, your Lord has set you free in his vineyard to work rightly. You are free to live as a recipient of his mercy, showing mercy to those around you. You are free to live as his beloved child, being a diligent and faithful parent to your own children. You are free to live not begrudging the Lord's mercy, but inviting others to share in that mercy. You are free to work hard, to do good works, because the Lord has already lavished upon you his grace and saved you from working for your salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.